Good morning. We'll be in the book of Matthew. Well, it's good to see you, let you know that first. We'll be in the book of Matthew chapter 2 and then a little bit from Luke chapter 2, okay? So guess what we're going to be talking about? Amen.
This morning.
Good.
Now here's your chance to have a sweet, sweet sound. Let's all stand and sing number 207. Blessed be the name. 206. I'm sorry. What did I say?
207.
206. Is it catching? 206.
Blessed be the name of
morning, church.
Good morning.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm loving this.
Amen. And that.
Yes, loving this. Loving this. I welcome you this morning in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
Yes.
The reason we're here this morning, to come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're slowly getting back to where we used to be.
Amen.
Slowly. And are encouraged by that.
Amen.
We love to see some larger numbers in our Sunday school class. So I encourage you to come and be involved in Sunday school. Don't just give the Lord an hour on Sunday morning. How about giving Him another hour and a half? I think it's impossible to really learn to be a disciple of Jesus Christ without Bible study. And that's what Sunday school is all about. It's about studying His Word, getting deeper meaning from it, and for Him to reveal to you what you need to be doing with your life, what you need to be doing in the church. The church, remember, is a body. The body is made up of different parts, and each part has a role. This reason they be called son to be preachers, son to be teachers, son to be evangelists. He's called some of you to work in the church. Now, I don't know what that role is. That's between you and the Lord. But He has called you to do something. So I'm going to encourage you. If you want to know what it is, get in His Word. Remember He said, if you seek Me, you'll find Me.
Amen.
If you draw close to Him, He will draw close to you. That's all it takes. So, folks, I know we're all sad this morning in a lot of ways. The terrible tornadoes that hit the states, loss of life, loss of property. Our own community, we've lost several people in the last week. Vanessa and I had three places to go yesterday, and really more than that for visitations, but we just couldn't make them all. But there's a lot of families around us hurting right now this time of year. Just in our Sunday school class alone this morning, we filled up a whole page of prayer requests. I noticed there's names out there in the foyer on the prayer list out there that we didn't add. So there's a lot of people around us that need our prayers. Not just this morning, but this evening, and in the morning, and tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night. Keep these people on your hearts and lift them up to God, and He will hear. He will respond. He loves us. And here's the hard part. He knows the best, what's best for us. We think we know what's best, but He knows what's best.
Amen.
Let's trust Him, okay? Let's just trust Him. I encourage you too this morning to lift up our pastor. He's God's messenger this morning. He's got a message for us. We need to be attentive and see what the Lord has in store for us today. Join with me as we pray. The altar is open to anybody who wants to come. Father, thank You again for the day You've given us and our many blessings. We're so blessed, Father, in this part of the country. Well, we can meet together, and Father, in freedom. We have a freedom to come together to worship. It's something we take for granted so many times. Thank You for that, Father. We thank You for Your love, for Your watch care, for Your many blessings, for our cup which runs over. Now, Father, right now our minds are turned to those who are hurting this morning, those who've been affected by the storms, by Father, who've lost loved ones. Those in our own community who have lost loved ones, we especially lift those to You and ask, Father, for Your comfort, for Your peace. Help us as Your children to come alongside them and comfort them as best we can. Father, we lift to You each and every one that's in the sound of my voice this morning. If there be one that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's my prayer today that they would be attentive and they would listen, Father, that they would pay heed to that knock upon their heart's door, and they would let Jesus come in and be the Lord of their lives, because it's all about Him. Thank You again for loving us, watching over us. Now we lift to You our pastor, Brother Brian, Father, and the message that You've given him to give us today. We know Your word will not return void, but will accomplish what You've sent it out to accomplish it. So help us now, Father, to be receptive
to have our hearts and our eyes and our minds tuned to you and to your word. For it's in the name of our precious Savior Jesus that we ask these things. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, choir, and Brother Ken, and Sister Nancy, and orchestra. It's good to have people tooting their horns and all that again around here. It's good to see all of you today as well. Boy, the weather around here can change quite fast, like, can't it? 7 degrees yesterday morning, and or close to it in the 60s, and then that rain come through, but our hearts do go out to those. If I didn't miss here, They said that this is the longest straight path of a tornado that there's been, almost 200 miles. I mean, that is mind-blowing. But again, it should remind us that we are less than ants in the magnifying glass when it comes to us and our Creator. And yet He is mindful of us. I don't know why He allowed to happen, but it's not our duty to know why. It's our duty to care for and to love, pray for. And if we can send things or get materials down to them that'll make their life a little bit. I mean, you think about this. When that thing come through, cold weather come in behind it. And these people without houses and having to find a place. But by the grace of God, there go I. It could have very easily been us. But it's good to see you this morning, and we are going to be lifting them up in prayer. And then Brother Otis has a niece, I believe, that is going to be going to have some surgery, serious surgery dealing with her heart. We want to pray for her. There has been a lot of deaths. We want to remember Jared's family and others that have lost loved ones. But praise God. As Brother Kay was saying, he said, we're about back to where we were, but praise God, we ain't where we're going to be either. You know what I mean? Our best days are yet ahead of us. And I believe that as a church, but I know that according to Scripture, that this life is just preparation for true life, eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so as you're turning to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 3, and then also in Luke chapter 2 as we're looking through it. But if you're watching by Facebook, listening by radio wave, or you're in-house with us this morning, it is good to have you. So thankful that you are here with us. And I'm gonna ask you to do something. Turn to somebody and tell them nobody loves them like Jesus. All right. If you had somebody on both sides of you, you had double duty now. You had double duty if you're sitting in the middle. Okay. But it is true. Nobody loves us like Jesus loves us. That's what we're celebrating as we celebrate Christmas. Nobody's done so much for us as Christ has done for us, and nobody will do more for us if we'll open our lives up to Him than He'll do for us. But I do want to just say thank you to Sister Peggy and those that worked for the senior Christmas meal. It was a great meal, and I don't know who won the games, but they was getting really into them when I left, okay? And then Friday night, Amy and I were privileged to go be a part of the our Southern Baptist Conservatives of Virginia pastors and pastor's wife Christmas celebration, and we're thankful to God to be there. Anyone else this morning got a word of praise or a word of testimony today? Amen. Amen. Every morning we wake up, that means our Creator has a purpose for our life. Amen. Every day. Anyone else? Maybe just God is good, or I love Jesus, or... Amen. Amen. Brother Johnny, he just made sure everybody knows he loves the Lord today. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Anybody else? Amen. It's good to have y'all. Good to have you with us. And if you've been here one time, you're a regular. So you just kick your shoes off if you want to. This is the holy ground. Amen. Well, it's been dedicated to the Lord. And whatever happens here today, I pray this every time, whatever happens from any song, any lesson, any testimony, any sermon, that all of it go to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ so that the Father may be lifted up. And that's our goal. But today, if I had to tell any other words of thanksgiving or testimony, don't want to rob you of a blessing. Amen. 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 And if you wonder what he's talking about boxes, it's the shoebox, Christmas boxes that are sent overseas. And I forget the is it 1 in 10? Was it 1 in 10? Huh? 1 in 4 averaging, and you know numbers, they can be manipulated, but 1 in 4 that receive those boxes end up accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You will not find a ministry or a missionary that is worth of the investment better than that. Anyone else today? Amen. I am. I am thankful for your Sundays. The college and career age class. And I promise you this. Talk with some of our young men and young women. They've got testimonies that are awesome. And not just their salvation testimonies either. Just their daily lives, how God shows himself. And I'll tell you this, as a believer too, if you'll look around, you'll see God's hand more and more if you're looking for it. There's no doubt about it. Anyone else? All right, I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's Word. Our main text that we're going to read this morning is Matthew chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 18. But if I had a message or a title for this morning's message, and Brother Ken, do you mind handing these out, and Brother John? We have a study guide, a message guide. It just, if you're like me, I get distracted easy. ADD. So this kind of helps you just keep your mind on track, but it also lets you look at it and write it, and Lord willing, the precepts will move into your heart. But do we have anybody else with a word of praise or testimony? Anyone? Praise the Lord for His Word. And Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee thy wife, unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he, notice who, but he called his name Jesus. If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be The Quiet Man of Christmas. The Quiet Man of Christmas, or the gifts Joseph gave as birthday presents. The gifts that Joseph gave as birthday presents. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I come to you today and I thank you for this day. And God, I'm thankful that in this day, your mercy, your love, and your grace is new as the rising of the sun. And Lord, I come before you today and I can plead nothing but the blood of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, because it's in Him alone that I have access to the throne. And God, I'm thankful today that you have given us your Word. And God, I'm thankful that your Word does not change. And God, I pray today that your Word become more than words written on a page, but let them become precepts embedded in our minds and in our hearts. And God, that we will live out the gospel message, and that others will see the love of Jesus in us. God, I pray for those that couldn't be with us today, those that are listening by whatever means, but God, we pray, Holy Spirit, for the next few minutes, let our hearts and our minds be focused on you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you remember this passage, it should be familiar to you. This is Matthew's account of how Joseph came to the knowledge of him going to be the earthly father of the Messiah. How that Mary had been conceived by the Holy Spirit. She had been moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and the child that she bare in her womb is the Son of God. But I want to read some other passages for you this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and through 15. And after they, the wise men, the magi, were gone, an angel appeared to Joseph in his sleep, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is about to search for the child to kill him." So Joseph got up, taking the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. Another one over in the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "When 8 days were completed for Jesus' circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord and to offer sacrifices according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And it went all the way from bullocks down to the birds, and it was based on your financial status. When God gave the law, he understood that not everybody could afford a bullock. Not everybody could afford a lamb. Not everybody could afford this or that. And so he did, he allowed for that. Praise God, aren't you glad today that God allows for all of our sins? There's not one sin that his blood does not cover today. And then over in Luke chapter 2, verse 41, you probably wouldn't say this was a Christmas text, but it's going to go along with the idea. It says there, "Every year his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival, and when he was 12 years old, they, Joseph and Mary, went up according to the custom of the festival." And you remember, after it was over, they thought Jesus was with them. After a few days, they figured out he wasn't there, and they went back, and remember, they found him in the temple, and he was there with the priest and the teachers, and it said that he was teaching in such a fashion and with such authority that it was amazing, those scribes and teachers and that had studied for years and years. And when his mom and daddy asked him, "Where have you been? Why have you done us like this?" Jesus responded and said, "Don't you know I should be about my father's business?" And so he carries on his business in his father's house. But first thing I want us to notice this morning is this, is that all of Christmas is wonderful. The celebration of the arrival of the Messiah is amazing. Also, you know, Judeo-Christian ethics and all that we get from that. I mean, it is our forefathers said that even if you take away the aspect of being true believers, that the morality and the set that is found in Judeo-Christian ethics will never be improved upon. But I want to tell you this, there's two things that we forget that are awesome and we need to celebrate it. And the first is the Immaculate Conception. Praise God, the Bible teaches that the seed or the curse of sin is passed on from father to son or from father to daughter, and it's passed on. But the Bible teaches us that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is not conceived by flesh and blood alone, but it is the Holy Spirit that moved upon her womb and caused Mary to conceive and to be with child. Praise God. You take that away, you don't have the same Christianity. We have a God that is not bound by sin. The curse of sin was not passed on to him, and that's why we can call him the spotless lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And then this is something else that's amazing. He died and rose up again. Hallelujah. Those are supernatural traits. And we don't live, we don't worship, we don't serve within a supernatural religion, but we serve a supernatural God that came in a supernatural manner. He lived a supernatural life. He arose with over death with a supernatural strength. And praise God, he ascended to heaven by supernatural means. And soon and very soon, he is coming back in a supernatural way, and he's going to deliver us from this natural world and the natural curse of sin. Amen? But if you remember last week, it was kind of weird because I hadn't been able to preach for 2 weeks and I had a burden on me that I felt like I needed to finish up Nehemiah. But also, you know, it's Christmas, so you're kindly, there's some certain things you're supposed to preach. There's certain scriptures you're supposed to read. But remember what we did, that it kind of worked out and I can't get it off my mind, but this is Christ's birthday. And we need to at least, in some fashion or in some way, give a gift to our Savior at this time of year. And if you remember just looking at Nehemiah as we studied going from surrender to celebration, we saw that there was the spiritual sacrifice, the giving of ourselves spiritually to the Lord. There is the physical or living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, or this is your reasonable service to God. Then there's the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. You remember we talked about hands up, don't shoot. Looks a whole lot like hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, surrender is part of worship. And on September the 19th, after we have our special program before from our choir, but before I preach, there's going to be a time of worshiping the Messiah. And I hope and pray, I'm going to give opportunity to anyone that would like to come up and just give a sacrifice of praise that morning. And Lord willing, the Holy Ghost to get involved, and we won't know what God's going to do in that service. But then also we saw the sacrifices of goodness and godliness. And remember in Hebrews, it tells us not to forget the sacrifice of doing good, especially those that are of the brotherhood. So Christmas is the public celebration of the Messiah's birth. Christ, the promised one, the anointed one of God, and Mass, which even today, Catholics, they call their services Mass because that is a worship, a time of worship. And this is a time of worship and celebration of Christ's arrival. And of those sacrifices, spiritual, physical, sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, a sacrifice of goodness and godliness, there are none of those that God would reject if we gave them out of a clean heart. But today, I want to talk to you a little bit about Joseph. Because what's been stuck in my mind this week is this. It's not just what do you give the man who has everything, but it's what do you give the man who created everything and who is above all things. So I want to consider Joseph a little bit this morning. Joseph is pretty close to a forgotten man when it comes to the nativity. Now we do know that he had a major role, but out of those passages I just read to you, do you remember any of them saying something like this, and then Joseph said? No. I don't read anywhere where Joseph has any say. Do you remember in the nativities when we have them in church and all that? How many of you remember Joseph having a speaking part? To be honest with you, Joseph could be a crash dummy. I mean, really, because all we need is for him to fill a position. We don't think much about Joseph. Matter of fact, he's first mentioned over in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, where he is in the lineage and the line of David, which was prophesied. And then the last time we see Joseph is when Jesus was at 12 years of age and he's having to find his son, like many of us have had to do. They're having to find their youngin' in the middle of a wild situation. So this week, as I've been thinking about Joseph, and this morning I want us to look closely at Joseph's life, because I believe that we can see in the little that's said about Joseph, I believe we can see at least seven things. Oh, Lord, you just passed out, didn't you? Seven things that we can give to Christ for His birthday. I believe we can see seven things. Okay, the first one that I believe we can see is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And it says this, Matthew chapter 2. Verse 18, the birth of Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together, meaning before they had a physical relationship, that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. I want you to be mindful of this, that Joseph was a man familiar with excruciating pain. I would stop and think about it right now. Think about when you were engaged to be married. You're planning the wedding. Everything's going good. And then all of a sudden, your spouse-to-be comes to you and she says, I've got something to tell you and I don't know if you're going to understand, but I'm pregnant. Now, first off, just hearing that, I'm going to say, stop the presses, send out no more invitations. But then she adds on to that, not only am I pregnant, but I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you what. I believe when Joseph first heard what was going on, I believe it tore him up on the inside. Because he was in a situation he was not expecting. He was in a situation that he didn't cause, that he's being pulled into. I mean, just think about it. Think about the hurt of Mary. What do you think a normal response would be, even in that time? How do you think Mary is going to be viewed? Probably for the rest of her life. And then what about Joseph's reputation? That he would take on a woman who was pregnant before they ever got married. But he did it because the Lord called him to it. And folks, I want to tell you this, as we consider some of those people that have went through the tornadoes, even around here in the past few months, there's been hardships. Some people that I know have stepped up to take on roles and their parents have gotten sick. Their family members have hurt this. They've had financial issues. Why? Because when we serve Jesus Christ and when we live a life for Jesus Christ, we will experience pain. We will go through hardship. Paul said this, that I may be crucified with Him but and experience the resurrection of the dead, but that also I might share in what? Share in His sufferings. But even after he finds out and everything's going on, I want you to consider this in Luke chapter 1 verse 6 where it says, and she, meaning Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, here's the thing. When we think about inn, we think about a hotel. And over in Luke chapter 10 about the Good Samaritan, when they use the word inn there, it is pancheion, which means a lodge for a traveler. But here, when you read in Luke chapter 6 and you read the word inn, it's katalim, which means a guest room or a guest house. You see, back then, according to Catholic Doctrine.com, it says, based on archaeology, findings and records of that time, the houses in Judah or the area surrounding Jerusalem usually had a guest room adjacent to the family room or the common room. And it would be on a second level because on the bottom level was where the stable would have been at. And why would they do it that way? Because you could protect the animals, you could take care of the animals, you could feed the animals, and also when it got cold, the heat rises and so the animals' heat would rise up and it would help keep it safe. And then they would take a rock and they would chisel it out. They would haul it out. Why? Because wood would let water seep out. But if you had stone that had been hewed out into a manger, then it would be there. Now think about this. Why are they there? Because Herod said, go back to the home of your family line. And when we read this in the right context, it seems like that, yeah, they may have looked at a hotel or two, but they probably also went to friends and family's house looking. I can tell you this right now, there ain't nothing special about me, but I'm from a place called Hoboken, Georgia. I got friends and family that live in Hoboken, Georgia, and if I go down there, they'll at least put me up for a night or two. Same thing is true around here. I may not be your best friend, but you might put me in the guest room for a night or two. I believe what happened was the rumor of her being pregnant before she was married. You know, you got family right now that if somebody popped up pregnant, they wouldn't want them to come around. Or if they've got addicted on drugs, they wouldn't have them around their house. Why? Because of the thoughts that they have. You see, Joseph was willing to endure pain as a gift to the Messiah. They was willing to suffer loss for the Messiah. Let me ask you today, none of us want to experience excruciating pain. I told you about my daddy. My daddy, if I can be half the man that he is, I think I'll be a godly man. But how did he get to be it? Well, his first wife got killed in a car accident. A few years later, his daddy shot his mama and then killed himself. And then a few years after that, his oldest brother hung himself. I want faith, but I don't want to have to get that faith that way. You know what I mean? But we don't get to pick and choose. All we know is that if God be for us, hallelujah, who can be against us? But Joseph was a man that is familiar with excruciating pain. Another thing, as we look at Joseph, hold on, I did my pages a little different this morning, and they've got me kindly throwed off. Another thing is that Joseph was a man of convictions. Joseph is a man of conviction. Look there in verse 19. So her husband Joseph, being what? A just or a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. Now the word righteous in the King James, it says just. It simply means to be upright, be in accordance with what God's standards are to be, pertaining to being in a right relationship with somebody. When it says that he's a just or that he is a righteous man, it means that he wanted to do what was right in the eyes of God. Now, I want you to think about that. He didn't care what family thought. He wanted what God... What does family say? Well, you got to... She's pregnant, boy. You better marry her and make a good woman out of her. Some would have said to her when he said he wanted to do it privately, because one thing, he didn't want to disgrace her name, but adulterers were to be stoned. And he was saying, I don't want her to be stoned. That's what the world wants her to happen to her, but I don't want that. Hey, in today's world, what would it be? Well, it's an inconvenience. It's a mistaken pregnancy. I don't want it. What would they say? Kill it. Kill it. But what did Joseph say? Joseph wanted to do what was right in the eyes of God. I'm going to tell you this right now. What America needs, America does not need perfect people. But it needs people that have convictions and people that stand on those convictions. And when we fall, we admit it and we get back up and go on with it. Admit it, quit it, get on with it. I had an old man used to tell me that. But listen to what it says this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, it says, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of grass. It withers and it fades away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You know that whatever we do based on the truth of God, that will last throughout eternity. Hey, the praises and the prayers that we raise up right now, that's lifting up, they're going to ring out in glory. And the things that we do based on God's Word, that will carry on throughout of eternity. It will make differences in people's lives. It will be to the glory of the Lord. And when you glorify God, it is never wasted. Never wasted. But you see, today we live in a time where people don't want to have convictions. They don't want things to be definite. They want there to be wiggle room. Even us as believers, we want wiggle room. But Joseph was a righteous man, and he thought he was going to put her away privately. He thought that was the righteous thing to do. He wasn't caring about himself. He was caring about her well-being. Just as Jesus doesn't care about himself when he went to the cross, he cared about our well-being. So today, as we think of birthday gifts, as we think of the quiet man of Christmas, what do we see in his life? What did he give Jesus? He gave Jesus the willingness to suffer because he loved him. He was willing. He was a man of conviction. Why? Why was he standing on these convictions? Why did he want to do what was right? Because he loved his Creator. Today, are we a people that are willing to stand on our convictions for the glory of the Lord? And I'm going to tell you this, folks, if we're going to see revival, it's going to be because we stand on our convictions. And let me say this, it's not the do's and the don'ts. Not the do's and the don'ts. This is what it is. Do we love people? If you want to know where you stand, and God has really been convicting me about this, there's all kind of stuff that we can use as measuring sticks, and we can say they do this and I don't do that, but I do this and they don't do that, so I must be a good Christian. No, the Bible says if we love Him, we'll abide in His commandments and we will love others. This is what blows my mind. When Jesus, hallelujah, when Jesus comes into your life, you're a selfish person, you're all about you, you don't really care what happens to other people, but the Holy Spirit moves in and you go from focusing on me and you to go to focusing on He who has saved you from your sins, and then you start focusing on others. Then you're concerned about the well-being of others. Then you're willing to love on others in spite of what it might cost yourself. Hallelujah today. We have a God who loves and can change us into a people who loves. Hallelujah. Joseph, he gave the gift of suffering. He gave the gift of holding fast and being a man of conviction. And these notes have got me confused all the way around. Number four. Look there. Or number three. All right. Well, let's jump down to number five. How about that? number four is that he is a man of a unique calling. He is a man of a unique calling. Matter of fact, he's a man that had a one-of-a-kind calling. Nobody else is going to be called to be the daddy of the Christ child. Nobody else is going to have to do and go through what he went through. But look there in verses 20 and 21. It says, "But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he has saved us will save us from our sins.'" Now I want you to notice what it says. It said, after he had considered these things, he didn't just say, "That's it, I'm going to put her away privately and the marriage is going to be over with." But notice, he took time to think about these things. He pondered what Mary had told him. He knew that the Messiah was supposed to be coming. He knew the prophecy that was there. And praise God, he, like Mary, was willing to say, "Whatever you want for my life, let it be. Whatever you want, whatever your will for my life, let it be." And like I said, you know, he's got a unique calling, but what we don't understand is this. We have a calling that God has given to nobody else. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27. "Instead, God has chosen what is the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing that which we view as something, so though that no one can boast in His presence." You realize today that God, the Bible teaches this, that whoever comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they have been given a spiritual gift that is to be used within the body of Christ for the growth of the kingdom. Everybody's been given that gift. What would we say about Joseph today? Knowing what we know, that yes, Jesus is the Messiah. Yes, He is the one that came to save. What would we say about Joseph if he'd have said, nope, I don't want to have nothing to do with her. I'm just breaking myself off from that. That might be your calling, but I ain't going to do it. We'd say, how could he do that? That's Jesus. That's the Son of God. Man, he gets to do something. He was able to do something that no other man will be able to say that they've done. But do you know what today? God's got a calling in your life, a unique calling, a calling that He's never placed on anybody else. He's got things for you to do that no one else will ever do. But every day we say, nope, God don't want to do that one. And I believe when we get to glory and we look back, because the Bible says that even as Christians, we will be judged for our deeds and we'll be judged for the deeds we didn't do. And can you imagine what it would be like to stand in the presence of God and say, yeah, you gave me my life, you let me breathe, you blessed me with a family. Not only that, you saved me, but when it came for your calling on my life, I just didn't have time. I just didn't have time. We see Joseph. And you know what? Joseph is a picture of a good daddy. He's a picture of a good parent. And praise God, if we want to be a godly parent, then these are the type of things that we need in our life. So today, as Joseph stepped up when he was called, will you step up today for the calling that God has on you? It might be just be a prayer warrior. Or it could be that you need to be a member of Thomas Village. Could start with maybe you need to rededicate, get into choir, get into orchestra, start teaching a class. But it all begins with the, here I am, Lord. Whatever you want for my life, I'll do it. Number five. Look there. It says in verses 21 through 24, it says, when 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name that given by the angel before he was conceived. And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, the firstborn male shall be dedicated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to the standard. But the standard that was in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two pigeons. Now I want you to remember this. You remember where it tells us in the Bible that he became sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of the law? Jesus never broke a law. He was right in line with everything that had to be done by the law. And it begins right here. Now think about it. Jesus couldn't walk. Jesus couldn't talk. Jesus couldn't say, I need a ride down to the temple so that I can follow the law of God. So that I can be that spotless lamb. No. It was Joseph. Joseph says, I'm going to take it. Why? Because he was a man that was committed to his religion. He was a man that was committed to his religion. And I know some people say, oh, that religious mess, that's what the problem is and all this. No, religion, here's the definition of religious or religion. It means a faithful devotion to acknowledge the ultimate reality or deity. Things that people do to set apart for recognition, praise, and glory to their Creator, to their Savior, and to their Lord. Their religion is good. Having religion in your life, what does that mean? It means the living out of what your God desires. It means showing the world what God means. Some people will say religion is just a superstition. I can be saved and not go to church. I can be saved and not be baptized. I can be saved and not give to the church. You're right, you can. But are you really a Christian? Because all that I just mentioned, it should be centered around Jesus. When I go to church, it's not for the other people that are there. It's so that I can worship Jesus Christ. When I teach a class, what is that? That's a part of me acting out my religion. Why? For the glory of Jesus Christ. We do these things. Why do we join the church? So that we can be with others to do more for Jesus Christ. religion. He was faithful to his religion. I want you to know to his commitment to religion. And notice what happens after this. It's awesome that Joseph did this, but if Joseph would have said, no, let's wait till tomorrow. No, let's wait. But one, he'd have broke the law because it was to be done on the eighth day. But later on in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 21 and following, you read about a man named Simeon. The Bible says that Simeon was a man of God who was waiting on the consecration of Israel. That's simply another term for the Messiah. And the Bible says that he had the Holy Spirit on him. So we know that the Spirit was there even before the new covenant. But guess what happened? God had promised him that he would see the Messiah. And that day when Joseph was committed to his religion and he brought that baby boy in there, the Holy Spirit that was on Simeon moved and gave him the ability to see that that was the Messiah. And he began to praise God and he began to talk about what that young babe would do. And he says, now I can go in peace. You see what happened? Because he was faithful in his religion, another man was blessed by a relationship with the new Messiah. But then there's also Anna. Anna over in Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 36, they call her a prophetess. It says that she had been a widow for 84 years and that she would fast and she would pray. And that day when she was there, surely the Holy Spirit was on her as well, because when she seen that baby, she as well said, the Messiah has come. You see, we are not only committed to our religion because it shows the glory of God, but when we're committing to living out our religion, then we bless others. We bless others. Number six, he was a man of moral conduct. He was a man of moral conduct. Look at this. When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angels commanded him. Joseph married Mary, but he did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to his son and he named him Jesus. No, notice this. Joseph respected God. He respected what God was doing. He didn't understand it all. And most men, when they get married, they've got an expectation. But he respected God. Something else, notice this. He respected his wife and her convictions. He respected his wife and her convictions. He put the desires of the flesh on the back burner until what God wanted to accomplish and what burden was on his wife. But then not only that, can I tell you this? He respected all future believers. All future believers. Why? Because we stand on the reality that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost on a woman that had not known a man and was born of a virgin. That's what we stand upon. He was a moral man. He wanted to do what was right in the eyes of God. But I want you to tell you, and I want you to think about something else. Over in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, it says that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, we're told, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each into his own town, and Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee, to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of the line of David, and to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. We forget this sometime, but not only was Joseph from the line of David, but if you look over into the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 31, Mary is also from the line of David. So he is doubly fulfilling the promise there. But you remember why they had to go to Bethlehem? For one reason. Herod had a big head and he wanted people to act like they were worshiping him, and he wanted them to give taxes. It was all about money. Same thing with marriage certificates in America. It's all about them being involved in your life. That's what that is. True marriage is in the eyes of God. But I want you to notice this. If it was tax season for us, what would we be doing? We'd be looking for every place that we could get. You know what? If it had been me, I'd have said something like this. Mary, you reckon you can hold off giving birth to that baby, because that's going to be another thing we got to pay for when we get there, and I'm going to have to pay taxes on you, I'm going to have to pay taxes on me, and I'm going to have to pay taxes on the little one. So don't you think we can stretch this out another month? Huh? Wouldn't we be doing something like that? Not Joseph. What did he do? He obeyed the laws of God. You know what? We don't think that's much, but you know what he said? I'm going to lead my family, even though it's small, I'm going to lead it in a moral way. You remember when Jesus was asked about taxes, what did he say? He said, give the government what is the government's? And then give unto me what is mine. And isn't that what Joseph is doing? We see it. He's honoring God. He's obeying the laws of man. He's obeying the laws of God. Why? Because he's setting a standard for young Jesus. And not only Jesus, but for Jesus' back, the half-brothers, James and Jude. We know he had more. You see, the only time the Bible tells us over in the book of Romans, chapter 13, beginning of verse 1, it says, everyone must submit to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist are instituted by God. So then, the one who resists the authority is opposing God. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, if we oppose the law of the land, then we're directly opposing God. When we don't pay our taxes, when we are not willing to let everything come out and do what we're told in the eyes of God, then we move ourselves from a place of blessing. And we move our family from a place of blessing. But what did Joseph? Joseph committed to being a man of morality. He was a man of morality. Look at number 7. Hold on, I missed one. Look there in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Joseph was a man that was willing to contend for his family. He's a man that's willing to contend for his family. Look there in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says, and they, after they, meaning the Magi, were gone, and the angel appeared to Joseph in his sleep, saying, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is about to search for the child to kill him. So what did Joseph do? It says he got up, took the child, took his mama, and escaped during the night to Egypt until Herod dies, and then he comes back to Nazareth. Think about it. It's hard to raise children, isn't it? You know, the idea of us is for me, a flawed human being, to raise up another human being so he's not as messed up as I am. You get what I'm saying? I mean, it can be overwhelming at times because I know how messed up I am, and I sure don't want my youngins to be that messed up. And you know, the devil attacks. He comes against you. He tests you through your children. He tries you through your children. But you know what? Could you imagine raising the Son of God? You think the battle's hard with our youngins. You've got the Messiah living in your house. And the devil's going to come against you, and he's going to fight against you. But what we see here in the first real attack, he said, I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to do what he says so that we can win this battle. I'm going to fight. I'm going to contend for my family. I'm not going to just turn them over to the world. I'm not going to just let society have them. I'm not going to let this malarkey that they're trying to pass as this 3 and 4. Can I tell you something? Wrong is wrong no matter race, no matter sex, no matter place in life. Wrong is wrong, and it will always be wrong. And we have to fight for our children. I mean, think about it. We teach our children so many things. We teach them how to brush their teeth. We teach them how to use the potty. We teach them how to dress themselves. We teach them how to handle money. We teach them how to drive a car and all these things. But yet, Do we teach them to read their Bible daily? Do we let them see us reading our Bible? Do we teach them to pray daily? Do we let them hear us pray daily? We'll put them in programs at school, and we'll put them in travel ball, and we'll do this, and we'll go to church once a month, but we'll go do whatever for the pleasure of ourselves whenever. What are we teaching the children? You want me to tell you what? We don't realize it, but we're laying down and giving our children over to the world instead of fighting when they say, I don't want to go to church this morning, or I don't want to go to VBS, or I don't want to go to Awana. Praise God, you're the parent. You are the ones that dictate what happens in your home. Now, could some of them get mad and run away and do all that? It could happen. I did it. But praise God, what does it say in Proverbs 22, verse 6? Raise up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when they are old, they will not defy from it. Can I tell you this? We're living in a time where husbands and wives don't want to fight for marriages no more. They don't want to fight for it. Really, we've had some in the past year. Not only have I had close friends that are battling to keep their marriages together, I've watched and seen marriages that I know are ordained of God, blessed by God, and put together, and they just gave up on it. So much so that it scared me that I looked my wife and I asked her, I said, you ain't gonna leave me, are you? She said, where in the world would you get that thing? You're just thinking crazy, blah, blah, blah. And stopped, and then I said, but you still ain't answered the question. We fight. Anything that is worth having is worth fighting for. Nobody said parenting was going to be easy. Nobody said having a spouse was going to be easy. But those two, a spouse and children, are two of the greatest blessings after salvation that any of us will ever receive. And I'll tell you something else. The home, mama, daddy, not mama, mama, daddy, not mama, mama, not daddy, daddy, but mama, daddy, child. That is the foundational building block of a stable society. It'd be better if it was the foundational building block of a Christian society. But even though, see, God's designed things to be a certain way, and when you live that way, there's a blessing in it. Even if you don't know God, there's a blessing in it. So let's think about these things as we wrap up this morning. Let me find it. I won't do it this way again. Let's think about this. Oh, the last thing is this, and we'll close with this. He was committed to teaching his children wisdom. Now think about it. Over there in that Luke chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, I won't read it, but you remember, he was 12 years old then. This is really, we don't read the name of Joseph really. It's just talked about his parents. But he was there. And Jesus was familiar with the synagogue. If you look over in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 21, you see that he knew to go in there, grab the scroll, and he would read off of it, and he said, today this has been fulfilled in your ears out of Isaiah. But notice this, there were three things. You would go to synagogue in your local hometown. That was kind of like your church. But three times a year, they were, as good Jews, they would have to go to Jerusalem. They would go for Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, when the blood was applied. They would go of Shavuot, or what we know as Pentecost. Before it became a Christian holiday, it was a Jewish holiday. It was 50 days after the Passover meal, and it was called the Festival of Weeks. And then there was one more. We talked about it as we studied Nehemiah. Remember the Festival of Booths, when they would build the booths and they would walk around? You see what he was saying? He might have took him to football games. He might have took him to whatever sport Jesus liked to watch. But you know what he made sure he did? He made sure that his son knew the holy days. And you know what? His son enjoyed the holy days. Well, that's the Christ. I know it. But you know what? If you enjoy serving the Lord, if you enjoy being faithful, if you enjoy being around the people of God, odds are your children probably will too. probably will too. But he was committed. So Joseph don't say very much with his mouth. But if we look at his life, he really celebrated the birthday of his son, didn't he? He did. He dealt with the pain. He stood on his convictions. He recognized his calling. He lived a moral conduct. He kept his religious commitments. He contended or he fought for his family. And he made sure his children were given godly wisdom. Now, as our piano player and our song director come, I don't know what God wants from you for Christmas. I don't know what Jesus... Maybe you've already given it to Him. Maybe you ain't even thought about it. But I don't believe any one of these would upset the Lord. Matter of fact, I believe it would please the Lord that if we said, I'm willing to endure the pain. I'm willing to receive your calling, whatever it is. I'm ready to fight for my family for your sake. Or whatever it might be. I don't know. But we spend millions of dollars at this time of year to let other people know how much we value them. We make sacrifices. We take days off. We lose pay so that others will know. We can spend time with them. And you're saying, well, this is, Brian, you're just... No, I'm telling you this. We need to give Jesus something. He is worthy of us giving everything. Matter of fact, today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is what Christmas is all about. And you, do you really want to have an awesome Christmas? Let me show you what the Bible says about what can be a reality in your life because of Christmas. Maybe today's the day that you need to come and rededicate your life. You don't have to be hooked on drugs, watching pornography and all that to be backslidden. You just have to be further away from Jesus today than you were yesterday. Maybe today's the day that you just want to come and fall down on your knees and say, hands up, I surrender. Let your will be my will. Maybe you want to come and pray for a lost loved ones. A soul-winning church must first be a church that weeps for souls. You know what? The more I see things happening around me, I'm getting more and more where I'm saying, even so, Lord, come now. But I won't see people saved. Will you come today as a Christmas and say, Lord, I give you this person. I may not have the authority over them, but right now, according to me, I want you to have them in their eternity. Maybe today you need to come and join Thomas Village Baptist Church, because I'm telling you, the Spirit is moving in this place. Not just today, but in every ministry we have. And we're thankful for that, and we want you to be a part of that. But whatever your need is, the altar's open. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the example that you've shown us in Joseph. Even now, people are starting to come. I don't know what their need is. I don't know what their gift is that they want to give you. But Lord, I know today that nobody loves us like Jesus. And the whole reason He came, the whole reason there is a Christmas, is because, Jesus, you are not willing to let us suffer our own demise that we deserve. And so, God, we praise you. I worship you and I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. There is no God like Jehovah, the one who is, who was, who is to come, the Lion and the Lamb. Lord, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who loves me more than I can even comprehend. Father, in Jesus' name, let the Holy Spirit have His way now. Amen and amen. Won't you stand this morning? People's already on the altar. When's the last time you've come to the altar? When's the last time? You know what? In the Baptist church, for some reason in our mind, we get in our head, boy, they must have some kind of sin in their life if they're going down on the altar. In the Old Testament, you know what? They built an altar when good things happened. It was a place to mark. Or maybe right now you need to just come and say, Lord, I'm just planting my flag right now and I'm going to be different from this day on for your name's sake. But whatever your need is, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for my sister. God, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for his faithfulness and I pray you bless him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for my sister Marshall. I pray for Sister Susan. Lord God, just let them and their relationship come closer and closer to you. Lord, let them have reached that level that they could not imagine. And God, we know that you want to lift us up into heavenly realms. Lord, we want you to do, you want to do things that we can't imagine, things that is bigger than our mindset. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for you. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you just let your spirit rise up within her and draw her closer to you than she could ever imagine. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for Christmas. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, Lord, that you forgive. I thank you, Lord, that there is nothing I can do to make myself worthy because you are worthy. And Lord, you give me your worthiness. You give me your righteousness as you took my sins. God, I praise you and I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Don't forget, December the 19th, Gifts for the Messiah. Just write down a little testimony and just tell the Lord how much you love him. Maybe you want to just publicly declare how good he's been to you.